Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Ero Copper, traded on the TSX under the symbol ERO, and now, as of just last week, last Tuesday, traded on the NYSE under the symbol also ERO. Shad and I are chatting with the president and CEO, David Strang. Now, David, a lot to bring everybody up to speed with within this company. Just to remind everybody, ERO is a copper producer focused in Brazil. And recently, some of their financial results and production results show a very low C1 cash cost of right around 50 cents per pound of copper. Look, with higher copper prices, this company is very nicely cash flowing and continues to work on one of the largest exploration programs in the world and continuing to focus on increasing production here. So, David, let's start off with some of the operational and financial results. The most recent news release highlighting the Q1 copper production that came out May 4th. Breakdown, please, what you're seeing in terms of the operational and financial results here for the company.
Thanks, guys, and it's good to talk to you again. With regards to financial results, obviously the first quarter was a boomer for us. If you look at the short history of the company since we've owned it, it was certainly record profits for us in the first quarter. You touched on operating costs, C1 operating costs below 50 cents a pound. And also record quarterly production for us. We're still going to forecast for the year production between 42 and 45,000 tons of copper and still keeping our guidance at between 70 and 85 cents a pound. We want to maintain that just to make sure that we meet all our metrics during the year. But certainly we've kicked off the year in a great start. As you pointed out, copper prices have been very, very strong. And as a low-cost producer, that just allows us to just really juice our margins and generate significantly higher cash flows for the company, which really puts us in good stead as we go forward here with some of our growth plans.
Now, David, one thing that we've outlined in past interviews and you've harped on a number of times is your guys' strategic plan here to grow your copper production. Right now, copper production coming from the MCSA mining complex, but the company also has the Boa Esperanza project that I know you are hoping to bring into production here. What are the growth plans? Current production estimates compared to where you hope production moves to and how you're going to get there?
Yeah, Corey, as people who have followed our company and our history have known, one of the real value adds in terms of acquiring the company was the fact that the existing mill infrastructure at the MCSA mining complex was underutilized. Year on year have been able to show how we can grow production through utilizing that processing plant. We still, in our life of mine plans, are only using approximately 65-70%, but that's where our exploration program comes in to continue to grow production within the MCSA mining complex to be able to put more ore through the mill, thereby producing more copper from that. But at the same time, we've had this Boa Esperanza development project. We've always known it had great potential, but a lot of the early work that we had to do in terms of working in the MCSA mining complex was making sure we stabilized those mine lives, which we've been able to do over the last 2 to 3 years, show that we've been able to grow production from there, which we've been able to do, make sure we lowered operating costs. And for those who know us, we were operating around about $1.45 a pound C1 cost. As we know today, we're forecasting costs at half that, at 70 to 85 cents a pound. And so really now the MCSA mining complex is maturing. We're very comfortable with it. We know it's got a very long life into the future. And so we will continue to grow incremental production from that. But that has now allowed us to kind of look sideways, look at Boa, and look at the potential of Boa. And, like we saw with looking at the MCSA mining complex when we acquired it, lo and behold, we've started to look quite seriously at Boa, and we see great opportunity there in terms of the existing feasibility study to optimize it. We hope to be able to talk to the marketplace towards the end of the third quarter with an update to that feasibility study. And really, we want to be in a place by the end of the year is to be able to show the marketplace a pathway for us to potentially doubling our production over the next 2 to 4 years from now, while maintaining our industry-leading low operating costs. So, you know, a win-win from production growth, but also continue to do that in terms of higher margins, in terms of return on that. And that really is a focus and remains a strategic focus of the company, is return on invested capital, making sure that we make the highest return possible we can on each pound of copper that we mine from either Boa or the MCSA mining complex or any other assets that we have. So we're pretty excited. We're looking forward, and we really see some great growth opportunities for the company.
Well, so far, David, the production and operational results, you guys have been doing a very good job of keeping costs under control and generating some nice financial results. Final comment before we move on from the copper production in the company. The higher copper price, even though it's faded a little bit from some of the recent highs, obviously helping the cash flow of the company, but is it changing any of your plans in terms of production or bringing even the Boa Esperanza project online?
Oh, certainly the higher metal price just allows us to continue to generate increased amounts of cash, making the financing of Boa significantly easier. But, you know, from our perspective, you know, our investors, our shareholders invested in us because of our systematic approach to growing our business, to maintaining discipline with regards to costs, etc. So from our perspective, we're starting to make the excess returns that we always wanted to make for our investors with the improved copper price. And that just bodes well for them and for us with regards to our growth strategy, continue to grow the company and generating the highest returns we can possible. But certainly, we're very, very happy with the high metal price. As it fluctuates, you know, as a low-cost producer, it's the best defense against changes in metal price. But certainly, we're very, very strong proponents of the green energy revolution, and we certainly see copper prices maintaining at these levels and if not going higher as we go forward here.
Well, David, no doubt it's exciting to see the higher copper prices, and it's always great to have low cost in combination with rising metal prices. That makes a great combination. And so as far as your copper output, there's no doubt there's growth to come. But let's shift over to the gold side of the equation with the company, and that's the NX Gold Mine. Not only do you have incredibly low cost on your copper production, but you have incredibly low cost on your gold mine too. Could you maybe update our audience on where things are at with the production there, the costs, and how things are moving along at the NX Gold Mine?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, NX gets lost in the mix, but certainly as an operation, you've touched on a couple of the highlights there. We are one of the lowest cost producers, certainly in Brazil and certainly in the world, with operating costs below, C1 costs below $500 an ounce, and our all-in sustaining costs projected around $650 an ounce. So we are a very low cost producer there. We are going to produce around about 36,000 ounces of gold this year. But the great opportunity there is very similar to the MCSA opportunity, and we actually call NX Mini-Me from the Austin Powers movie, because it has the same fundamentals in many ways in terms of how we drive value out of that asset like MCSA. And that includes we're only utilizing 40% of the plant capacity at NX Gold, so there's plenty of room for us to put additional ore through that plant and increase production at very low capital intensity. Like MCSA, we have low operating costs, as you've highlighted. And like MCSA, we've got a big sandbox in terms of exploration potential. We have a very large land position that has been generally underexplored, just like MCSA. And so we're now really pivoting at NX Gold. We've secured, like MCSA, its mine life. We now have a 6 to 9 year mine life at NX with continued growth in the Santo Antonio vein, which we're mining right now. And we really now want to look other areas in the district to see how do we grow our production from 36,000 ounces, start utilizing more of that plant capacity through the discovery of new deposits in the district. And that's really the focus there, just like MCSA. So very aligned in both copper and gold.
Well, let's dive into the expansion and exploration a little bit more then, David, because from what I understand, you have 10 drill rigs on the ground at NX Gold Mine. We'll just stick with that since we're already there. Tell us about some of the targets you have. How do you see the growth happening? And where are all those 10 drill rigs going right now?
Right, absolutely. So we really expanded the program at the beginning of this year. Up until that point, we've been operating with between, from any point in time, 2 to 4 drill rigs drilling the Santo Antonio vein. This was a new discovery we made just after acquiring the company. People may remember we had almost no mine life left at NX Gold, and we were able to make the discovery in the Santo Antonio vein and secure the future of the mine. One of the interesting things about this district is while it was a large land ownership, the previous owners had never drilled it. Since the construction of the NX Gold mine in 2012, no exploration drilling had occurred. And so with our acquisition in 2017, we have been doing all of the exploration drilling there. Now that we've secured the mine life future at Santo Antonio, we've started to pivot and we've increased the drill count, and we're now drilling other targets within the district. We're concentrating right now in 2 areas, one about 1.5 kilometers to the north of the existing operation and another area around about 20 kilometers away. And that's what we're drilling right now. And we hope to be able to start discussing and chatting to the marketplace about the drill results once we receive those from the labs in the coming months. So very excited about our prospects in terms of opportunity set. In the district, it's amazing. The Santo Antonio vein itself continues to grow. We haven't found the edges of that vein structure in and of itself as well. So, you know, both in mine, near mine, and regional exploration are all focuses for us at the moment at that complex. And as you said, you know, 10 drill rigs operating there on that project alone.
So, David, just real quick, how quickly could you bring in any of the discoveries or recent drilling into a mine plan from the NX Gold project?
That's a great question. When we've looked at it from, it's once we get into a vein structure and we're getting comfortable with that, it's just a matter of how many drill rigs we want to put on that project. I would say right now, you know, don't hold me to it. It's difficult for me to quantify that right now, particularly as we're just into drilling new targets. But theoretically, with a new discovery, I would argue it's probably an 18-month to 2-year process, depending on its location in conjunction with existing infrastructure, to be able to do that. Obviously, the further away we are, the more infrastructure we have to put in, the longer it will take. But certainly, I think the quickest we could do anything is 2 years. But I'd say 2 to 4 years is probably the time frame we would be looking at.
Okay, perfect. Let's move over to the exploration then at the copper projects. I understand there's somewhere around 23 rigs at the MCSA complex and 3 at the Boa Esperanza project. Give us an update here of all this drilling that's going on in terms of the copper side of the company.
Right. With our drill program at MCSA, you know, it is, we've been told, one of the largest exploration drill programs in the world on a single project. So we are spending significant amounts of our energy and strategic planning with regards to continue to develop resources within the Curaçao Valley, which is within the MCSA complex. A big focus over the last 18 months has been the deepening project at the Pilar Mine, and we continue to drill that project and look at extensions of it, and the drill results today speak for themselves. Likewise, up at our Vermelhos Mine, which is approximately 80 kilometers to the north, we continue to drill extensions of that ore body and lengthening that mine life. But we are also spending time within the district itself. We announced in our last quarterly update the discovery of 2 new sub-districts in the region, and we continue to drill there. But an interesting program that we've now initiated has been looking at some of the past producing small open pits that had been mined and looked at some of the potential for extensions there. And we kind of hinted at this. We released a couple of drill results on some of the drilling that we've drilled on some of these projects over the last 6 months. And we're pretty impressed with what we're seeing there. And why this is exciting to us, all of our exploration is, but why these particular areas, one called Laguna de Mina and the other one called Susurama Norte, is that these are fully permitted past producing operations. So anything that we're able to develop in terms of resources, the ability for us to bring and reopen those mines and bring in production quickly is certainly there versus some of the regional work that still needs some permitting to occur to it. So I would encourage any of the listeners, if they are following us, when we are talking about our regional exploration programs and now what we now call our past producing mine programs, to really watch those numbers, because we're seeing some very, very exciting opportunities there. And while early days, you know, we're certainly hopeful over the course of next year that we could solidify some opportunities within those past producing operations. So that really encompasses the MCSA complex. With regards to BOA, we have now just gone in and are doing some drilling. Some of the drilling is in relation to the feasibility study and updating that in terms of specific work with regards to geotech drilling, metallurgical drilling, et cetera, but we are starting to do some exploration drilling there. We see some opportunities potentially to expand our existing resources. It's very, very early days, but certainly we see gaps in the model that would suggest that there is potential there, and we hope to be able to guide and give update to the market, perhaps not in this exploration update, but certainly in the next one that we release later this year. So very, very busy. Exploration is a cornerstone of how we operate. We see the highest return, again, it's this concept of return on capital as being return on the drill bit. It's so much easier and you get so much higher returns if you're able to continue to grow your existing resources as opposed to looking at outside acquisition targets to do so. So we really believe in the exploration story with regards to our opportunity in the Curaçao Valley, at BOA and at NX Gold. And we certainly see that as the highest returns that we can make for our shareholders in terms of continuing to discover and grow all three of our operations.
Well, David, let's dig in just slightly more to the BOA Esperanza development project. Could you bring us up to date on roughly where you think the resources are currently, anything about the economics that you do know, and then where do you see it growing? How big do you see BOA getting, and how significant is it in the growth profile for the company?
Well, yeah, I've got to be careful what I can and cannot say outside of the existing feasibility study, but let me just give you some of the backgrounds on that. The existing feasibility study has an operation that would operate for around about 7-8 years, producing on average around about 20,000 tons a year of copper production. Now, that project in and of itself had a 32% IRR at a $3 copper price and a 320 exchange rate riash to US dollar. Where we are today, obviously, with the copper price significantly higher, exchange rate very, very different. In and of itself, the project's economics have got better. But where we see opportunity, and again, have to be cautious with regards to this, is as we look into the existing study, we've seen opportunities to optimize the resource. We're re-looking at the way the mine had been set up and operationally in terms of throughput. As I mentioned and touched on, we see some exploration opportunities that could improve economics as well. But all of that still has to be put together in an update to the feasibility study. But you know, as I said, we wouldn't be doing that work if we didn't think there was opportunities to enhance shareholder value. And so we're keeping working on that. And as I said, we'll be in a much better place towards the end of the third quarter to be able to have a conversation about that, as opposed to what I can say today.
Okay, and just one more quick question before we move away from exploration. I thought I saw something along the lines that you guys were also finding some PGMs and some nickel in one of your targets. Could you just briefly update us on that part of the equation?
Absolutely. Well, nickel we call the elusive fairy. We have seen some great opportunities with nickel, some very good ore grade intercepts with nickel, but to date we haven't been able to coalesce it. We continue to work and looking at the nickel potential in the district, and the team, it's not the core focus of the team right now, but certainly when we do see opportunities to look at nickel, we are following up on those. Of more core importance right now, and you've touched on that, is our PGM potential. PGMs, platinum group metals, and these types of deposits, you should see them. The previous owners had never looked for them and as part of their work and never had the capacity in terms of their assay labs to be able to look at it. We have been doing that. COVID kind of affected our ability to move quickly on the PGM side of things initially because we were having to send samples to South Africa to get tested. We have now brought the ability to do that test work in-house in our own lab. And so now we're starting to re-accelerate that program. In December, we talked in our exploration update with regards to the PGM potential. We see all of the major depositional styles that you would see around the major PGM operations in the world in the district. The questions that we have now are, do we have enough PGMs to be able to, number one, either become in and of themselves PGM operations, or do we have enough PGMs to be able to become a byproduct credit on our copper production? There are some suggestions to suggest to us that in the past, the company has sold copper and not been paid for byproduct PGMs. And so we're trying to get up to speed as quickly as we can to understand that. And we have a full program underway to evaluate the PGM potential from not only new potential PGM deposits, but more importantly in the shorter term, within our existing operations, what is the PGM content that we could get paid for sooner? So exciting. It's certainly very, very exciting work that the team are doing, but nothing that I could give you a lot of concrete answers on right now in terms of which direction we're going.
Okay. David, really appreciate this update. There's a lot going on with Arrow Copper, and we will follow up as some more news hits the market because it's production and a massive exploration program that are continuing here. So please, David, keep us up to date on future news. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email either me, fleck@kereport.com, or shad@kereport.com, and we will get those addressed for you. David, again, thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.